Double Indemnity by James M. Cain. Dramatized by Steph Penny.
The insurance game. You think it's a business, don't you? It's not. It's the biggest gambling wheel in the world. You bet that your house will burn down. They bet it won't. Except, there comes a time, maybe, when you want your house to burn down. And that's when the trouble starts.
It is only a paper moon hanging over a cardboard sea. But it wouldn't be make-believe if you believe in me. It is only a candy sky.
I was driving back from Glendale when I remembered this auto renewal over in Hollywoodland. That's how I first came to what the papers have been calling the House of Death. It didn't look like a House of Death when I saw it. It was just a Spanish-style house like a million others. White walls, red tile roof, and those curving stone steps that go up to the front door.
Yes?
Afternoon, ma'am. Is Mr. Nerdlinger in?
I don't know, sir. Who wants to see him?
Mr. Huff. Walter Huff.
And what's the business?
Well, it's personal.
I'm sorry, sir. They won't let me ask anyone in unless they say what they want.
Well, I did tell Mr. Nerdlinger I'd drop by, but never mind.
Oh.
Well, I'll see if I can make it some other time.
Well, in that case, maybe you'd better just come in.
You see, you can't say it's about insurance. No one ever wants to see an insurance agent. But to move that stuff, you've got to get in. You can pretty much rate an agent by how quick he gets on the sofa with his hat on one side and his dope sheets on the other.
Can you wait in here, sir?
The papers made a lot of that living room, especially the blood red drapes. All I saw was a living room like any other in California. I pitched my hat on the sofa and looked out the back window. You could just glimpse the ocean if you craned your neck.
It's a nice view, isn't it?
Oh, hello. Yes, I was hoping to see Mr. Nerdlinger.
Well, he isn't in right now. I'm Mrs. Nerdlinger. Is there something I could do?
Why, no, I don't think so, Mrs. Nerdlinger. Thanks all the same. The name's Walter Huff of the General Fidelity of California. Mr. Nerdlinger's automobile coverage runs out in a week, and I promised to give him a reminder, so I thought I'd drop by.
When you say coverage, you mean insurance?
Sure, it's just a routine matter, but he ought to attend to it, so he'll be protected?
Well, it really isn't up to me, but I know he's been thinking about the automobile club, their insurance, I mean. Their representative was here the other day.
Well, they're a great company. They pay promptly and they're courteous.
After about a minute, I knew this woman didn't care a thing about the automobile club. She was pretty, 30-ish, blonde, with a dusting of freckles and pale blue eyes. And as she walked around the room, I noticed something else. Under those blue satin house pajamas, she had a shape that would drive a man nuts.
Mr. Huff.
Yes, Mrs. Nerdlinger?
Do you handle accident insurance?
We handle all kinds of insurance.
Would you like me to talk to my husband about it, Mr. Huff?
Well, I can talk to him when he wants to discuss his auto renewal, and he should get onto it right away. Time's running out.
But it would save time, wouldn't it? If I talked it over with him first. Then you can see him. Why don't I call you to make an appointment?
That would be fine. I'll expect your call.
I walked out of there thinking, why would she talk to him about his insurance rather than let me do it? Only one reason I could think of. When I got back to the office downtown, the chief claims investigator wanted to see me about a potential fraud case. Keyes is head of the claims department and the most tiresome man to do business with. You can't say today is Tuesday without he has to look at the calendar and then check if it's this year's calendar or last, and then find out what company printed the calendar, and then find out if their calendar checks with the World Almanac calendar. But when it comes to a phony claim, he's a wolf.
Oh, you remember this one, Walter? You clipped a memo to his application saying he should be investigated before we accepted him?
I certainly do remember. I didn't like the look of the guy.
Well, get this. Even after your memo warning them, they issued the auto policy. And what's more, they were going to pay that claim until I sent a tow truck up there, pulled the truck out, and found a pile of shavings under the engine that proved he started the fire himself.
Why are these guys so dumb?
Excuse me, Mr. Huff. Mrs. Nerdlinger called for you. She's made an appointment for you to go see her Thursday at 3 o'clock.
Okay, thanks, Nettie.
It's not the guys that are dumb. It's the guys in the office upstairs. That's who I worry about.
Thursday, 3 o'clock. For 3 days now, I couldn't get the woman out of my head. Accident insurance is a funny thing. It's the one kind of insurance you can take out without the insured knowing a thing about it. It crossed my mind what kind of a warning I'd clip to that application.
Hello, Mr. Huff.
Hello, Mrs. Nerdlinger.
Come in. Oh, the maid is off today. I've just made myself some iced tea. Will you join me?
Thank you, no. I'll only be a minute. That is, if Mr. Nerdlinger has decided to renew.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry. I'm afraid he had to go out at the last minute. He told me he was going to be here this afternoon, but, well...
Oh, you'd be surprised how often that happens.
Really?
Maybe I will have some of that tea.
Sugar?
No, thanks.
Oh, I believe you're looking at my freckles, Mr. Huff.
Yeah, I am.
I always think they made me look like something off the farm.
I like them.
Cigarette?
Here. Have one of these.
Huh. Thanks.
So, what about those policies? Did you talk to your husband?
I think he's going to renew the auto insurance with you, but I didn't say anything to him about the other thing.
Oh, you didn't?
Just hate to talk to him about it.
I can understand that.
You see, my husband works for the Western Pipe and Supply Company. Most of the time, he's in the oil fields.
Plenty dangerous knocking around there.
Last week, a foreman was hit by a derrick and broke his back. He'll never walk again. If something like that happened to my husband? Oh, makes me positively ill to think about it.
How about I talk with Mr. Nerdlinger about this? I won't say you mention it. I'll just bring it up when I see him.
But then he'll ask me what I think, and... Mr. Huff, would it be possible for me to take out a policy for him without bothering him about it at all? Well, I could pay for it, and he wouldn't need to know, but just the same, all this worry would be over.
Now I couldn't be mistaken about what she meant. Not after 15 years in the business. I mashed out my cigarette so I could get up and go. I was going to drop those renewals and everything else about her like a red-hot poker. But I didn't. What I did was put my arm around her, pull her face to mine, and kiss her on the mouth hard. She gave me a cold stare, then closed her eyes and kissed right back. We didn't talk anymore about insurance that afternoon. That night, I was home in Las Feliz. It rained, so I lit a fire and sat beside it. And a little before 9, the doorbell rang.
But can I come in?
Of course. Give me your coat. You're soaking.
Oh, it's a deluge out there. think it might flood. I hope not.
How did you get my address?
You're in the phone book. Surprised?
No.
You think a lot of yourself, don't you?
Where's your husband?
He's in Long Beach. They're putting down a new well. I told Lola I was going to a picture show.
Lola?
My stepdaughter. Well, aren't you glad to see me?
Yeah. Sure. Come on through. I've got a fire going.
Oh, that's nice.
Something to take away the chill? Here.
Thanks. I just wanted to say I lost my head this afternoon. I've never done that before.
And you didn't mean it?
No, I did mean it. That's why I had to come down here and explain, but I won't ever mean it again. You see, I love my husband. More now lately than ever.
What do you mean, now lately?
Oh, well, with the worry.
You mean that down in the oil field, some rainy night, a crown block is going to fall on him?
Please don't talk like that.
But that's the idea.
I suppose so.
I can understand that, especially with this setup.
I don't know what you mean, what setup.
Why, you're going to drop a crown block on him.
What?
Well, maybe not a crown block, but something. Something will accidentally, on purpose, fall on him, and then he'll be dead.
Are you joking?
No.
Oh, you must be. Or crazy. Why, I've never heard of such a thing in my life.
I'm not crazy, and I'm not joking. And you've heard of such a thing in your life, because it's all you thought about since you met me, and it's why you came here tonight.
I'll not stay here and listen to such things.
Okay, Mrs. Nerdling.
I'm going. I'm going this minute.
I let her go. Didn't even get up when she left. But all the time, I knew it would still be raining the next night, that I'd light the fire and sit by it. And a little before 9, the doorbell would ring and...
Walter, I realize that there may have been one or two things I said last night that could have given you a terribly wrong impression.
You called me Walter. What's your name?
Phyllis.
Phyllis. You seem to think that because I can call you on it, you're not going to do it. You are going to do it. And I'm going to help you.
What would you do that for?
You, for one thing.
What else?
Same as you, money.
You mean you would betray your company and help me to do this for me and the money we could get out of it?
Just that. Now you better say what you mean, because you can't fool with this. When I start, I'm going to put it through straight down the line.
Please, Walter. I can't. It's insane.
Yeah, it's insane.
I haven't any reason. I don't love him. But he's never done anything to me.
But you're going to do it.
Yes. I'm going to do it.
A couple of nights later, we talked about it just as casually as if it was a little trip to the mountains. She had some stupid idea about the swimming pool he was going to build in the summer, and I had to knock that on the head. I've seen all the angles, and if your wife tells you she wants a swimming pool, start looking over your shoulder. No. I was going to rig this game, but I was going to rig it right.
But I tell you, he never goes on the train. He hates the train.
It's the train or nothing. Look, accident policies pay double indemnity on railroad accidents. I'm not risking my neck for some minor league deal. We lay $50,000 on this bet, or not at all. Isn't that worth it? This is a beauty, if I do say so myself. I didn't spend 15 years in this business for nothing, did I? Now, first thing is, he buys the insurance. But he doesn't buy it.
What do you mean?
You'll see.
Daddy, I'll miss the start of the picture. How long is this going to take?
It won't take long, Lola.
Okay, Mr. Nerdlinger. Now... there's for collision, fire and theft. There's for public liability. And here's the part about how you can borrow money against your car. That's a service we offer for free. That's terrific. And if you don't mind sticking your name on these two, they're the agent's copies, and I keep them for my files.
Where? Here?
Right on the dotted line. And Miss Nerdlinger, if you could sign here as witness.
There?
That's it.
Are we done, Daddy? I really have to go. Nino's waiting for me.
Mr. Huff?
Just about, Miss Nerdlinger.
Haven't we finished? I've signed the damn things, haven't I?
Of course, the agent's copy he signed was nothing like it. It was the accident policy. It was beautiful. He didn't suspect a thing. The only bit I didn't like was the witness Phyllis had got. I didn't reckon on Nerdlinger's own daughter. A couple of days later, she showed up at my office with a boyfriend in tow.
This is my friend, Mr. Sacchetti. Nino Sacchetti.
Hi there, Mr. Huff. Nice to meet you.
Mr. Sacchetti?
Mr. Huff, the other night you said to my father something about being able to borrow money against your car?
Well, yes, if it's in your name and fully paid for.
Oh, sure. Well, we want to take you up on it. Or rather, Nino does.
Are you sure, son? Because if you can't see your way clear to paying it back, it's a sure way to lose it.
I'm about to graduate in chemistry from USC, Mr. Huff. I've got a job lined up, but I've got to pay to get my dissertation published and pay for my diploma, things like that.
Right. What's the model?
A Ford Coupe, 29.
You see, Mr. Sacchetti, we have to take a key as security, and if you don't pay the loan back on time, we repossess your car.
I understand that, sir.
How much were you thinking?
$250 would do it.
I didn't want to lend him anything on his crummy car. I didn't want to have anything to do with him or with her at all. I would have thrown them out if I hadn't been so nervous. But her father's accident policy was burning a hole in my pocket, and all I could think of was to say yes and get them out of there.
That's awfully nice of you, Mr. Huff. I'll send you a copy of Nino's dissertation.
What's it about?
I warn you, it's a page-turner. It's called Problems of Colloids and Reduction of Low-Grade Gold Ores.
I'm looking forward to it.
I'll see you get a signed copy.
That was February, and the months went past. All through that spring, I didn't get much sleep. If you start on something like this, and you don't wake up plenty of times in the middle of the night dreaming they got you for something you forgot, you've got better nerves than me. The problem was, Nerdlinger never took the train. Even when he decided to go to a class reunion up in Palo Alto, he insisted that he take the car, no matter how Phyllis kicked up about needing it herself. I told her something would show up. We just had to be ready when it did. And then it happened.
The trip's off, Walter. He's broken his leg.
He's what?
Broken his leg. He was holding the neighbor's dog and he slipped. He can't go to Palo Alto.
Is it bad?
No, it's down near his ankle, but he can't walk. He has to wear a cast. Hello? Are you still there?
He will be able to walk.
What do you mean?
He can get around on crutches, if you get him up. Think about it, Phyllis. He won't be able to drive. He'll have to go by train. This is our lucky break.
You think so? But he's given up the whole idea of going.
Yeah, no, this could be it. Crutches, foot in a cast. I'm telling you, if you can get him up and make him think he ought to take that trip anyway as a vacation from all he's been through, we're in, baby. I can feel it.
Really? It's dangerous, though.
What's dangerous about it?
I mean, getting a broken leg out of bed too soon. I used to be a nurse. It's almost certain to affect the length. Make one leg shorter than the other.
Is that what's bothering you? Whether one leg's going to be shorter than the other?
Oh. Yes. I suppose so.
I guess that's one thing he doesn't have to worry about.
The day he was due to leave, I made out I was working late on a new prospect. I hid my rate book at work, then called the night watchman from home to get him to look for it. When he couldn't find it, he called me back to tell me so. That was one phone call that put me at home that evening. There would be others. I put on a dark suit and wrapped my foot in a crepe bandage so it looked like a cast. Then I slipped out the back way, walked to Phyllis's house, and hid in the back of their car.
You don't have to be in such a hurry to get rid of me. We're going to be early.
I don't want you to miss your train. But if there's traffic...
I don't even know why I'm going on this trip. Damn cast itches like a...
Come on. You'll have a ball when you get there with your old friends. You know you will. You're always talking about what a great time you had at college. You want the radio on?
All right. Hey. Why are you going this way?
There'd be traffic. I told you.
Well, this is just a waste of time.
Oh, shoot. I've taken a wrong turning. I'll just stop and turn around.
What are you doing that for? There's no one in front. Turn that damn thing off.
Oh, come on. Let's get him in the back.
No, 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 no. It's this way. Get that arm. Pull. Push it right down. Wipe it over. Like that. Oh, wait, his spectacles.
They're here.
Okay, you got the hat?
Yes.
Where's the cigar he was smoking?
Oh. Here.
Okay, let's move.
At the station, we parked in the shadows. Phyllis took his bag and briefcase. I took his crutches, put on his spectacles, and put the cigar in my mouth. With his hat pulled low and a cigar clenched in my teeth, I figured most people would just see a man with a broken leg. I was right about that. Once I got on the train, people couldn't move their bags out of the way fast enough. I told Phyllis to go to the end of the platform, and I'd go along to the observation car so we could say goodbye.
You better go. The train's about to leave.
Well, listen, hon, there's no use you waiting around here. Why don't you blow?
Well, all right. Have a good time, dear.
I'll do my best.
Whew, just made it.
Sure did.
Pretty nice, isn't it?
Hmm.
Say, you broke your leg. That's bad luck.
Uh-huh.
I broke my arm once. Worst thing was the cast. Itches like hell, don't it?
Sure does.
You can't, please!
Oh, damn it!
What's the matter? You lost something?
My ticket. You know what I bet you'll have done? Put that ticket in my briefcase. I told her to put it in my suit pocket, and now... Don't that beat all. Here, I've got to go and hobble all through those cars just because...
No, no. Just stay where you are. I'll go and fetch it.
Oh, I couldn't let you do that.
My pleasure. Stay right here. What's your space?
Section 8. Car C.
I'll be right back with it.
At last, he was out of sight. We had picked out a dairy sign as my marker, and it was coming up fast. I put the crutches under my arm, threw my leg over the rail, and let myself down. When the train was level with the sign, I jumped.
Phyllis! Where are you?
Phyllis! Over here!
too heavy for you. Here, let me. We've got to get him on the track. Have you got everything? Wallet?
Yes, I got it.
Right. Hat, glasses, crutches, cigar. That's it. Now back to the car. Quick!
Watch your speed, Phyllis. If we're stopped with me in the car, we're sunk.
Right. How can I drive with that thing on?
Need it on, you know that. That's my alibi.
Well, shut up then and let me drive.
Why didn't you wait for me to help you?
How could I just sit there with him in the back?
Calm down.
Don't tell me to calm down. God, you're all the same.
Cut it out, Phyllis. This may be our last chance to talk. Remember, you don't know anything about the insurance policy.
Oh, I know. How many times do you have to say that?
Okay. At the inquest, you bring...
I bring a minister. I know. You gotta shut up and let me drive.
Okay, then. Drive.
When we got to the corner of my street, I got out. We didn't kiss. We didn't even say goodbye. I got in and checked the card I'd placed under the doorbell. No one had called. I cut the bandage off my foot, shoved it in the fire, and watched it burn. Then I went to the telephone. I still had to set up the rest of my alibi. I just started to dial when I felt something like a drawstring pull in my throat. I had to get myself under some kind of control. I thought of the Lord's Prayer and tried to say it. But I couldn't remember how it went.
Hello?
Ike, do me a favor, would you?
Sure.
Yeah. I've done the dumbest thing. I came home, without my rate book. Could you look something up for me? I need to get this wine company proposition finished for the morning. Soon as he hung up, I ran to the bathroom and was sicker than I'd ever been in my life. Then I sat on the bathroom floor like a dope. I couldn't move. I knew then what I had done. I had killed a man. I had killed a man to get a woman. The next morning, it was in the paper. Oil man dies in train fall. That was good. It meant I wouldn't have to act all surprised. I had to go and see the boss, Norton, when I got in, and tell him exactly what happened when I sold the policy. He seemed to think it was a suicide, but only because he didn't want to pay up. I wasn't too worried about him. The one I was afraid of was Keyes.
Mr. Norton, I appreciate what you're saying, but... Yes, Mr. Norton, I know what you're saying. Fine. That man is a moron, Walter. Don't quote me on that. Mind you, so are you. Were you asleep when you sold the Nerdlinger policy?
Well, you know, that's just the way it comes out sometimes.
But you gotta admit, it looked funny. Guy buys an accident policy and doesn't want his wife and daughter to know.
It didn't look funny at all. If they had tried to insure him without him knowing, now that would have looked funny.
Norton's had a phone call from a guy in San Francisco. He was on the observation car with Nerdlinger last night. Says the guy was definitely trying to get rid of him. He thinks that wraps it up.
And doesn't it?
You should try reading what the actuaries say about suicide. Look at these tables. Here's suicide divided by age, by occupation, by sex, by season of the year, and by method. There's not one case out of all these thousands of cases of a leap from the rear end of a moving train. That's one way they just don't do it.
Maybe he's the first.
That train, at the point where the body was found, moves at a maximum of 15 miles an hour. Now, no one could jump off that and expect to kill himself.
So you're telling me it wasn't on the up and up?
When a man takes out an insurance policy that's worth $50,000 if he's killed in a railroad accident, and 3 months later he's killed in a railroad accident, it's not on the up and up. And
It's not suicide.
Then what do you mean?
You know what I mean. It's murder.
Murder? But I thought there was no one else out there. Well, what have you got to go on?
Nothing.
You must have something.
Not a thing. Whoever did this did a perfect job. Just the same. It's murder.
Hello?
Walter?
Where are you?
I'm in a drugstore. Lola's acting so funny, I don't even want to use my own phone. I drove down to the boulevard.
What's the matter with Lola?
Oh, just hysteria, I guess. It's been too much for her.
Nothing else?
I don't think so.
Okay. What's up?
Walter, I want to see you.
I want to see you too, baby, but we can't. Listen, fellas, when you put the claim in, the company isn't going to pay.
What? Why not?
They're going to make you sue them for it, so you have to go ahead. Get a lawyer.
But the inquest said it was an accident.
Due to cause unknown. That's what they're going to jump on. It'll be all right. It might just take a while.
Okay. But why can't I see you?
Look, you're the beneficiary. If we begin seeing each other, they might tumble to the truth so fast it'll make your blood run cold. Don't ring me again unless you absolutely must, and only from a drugstore and never from the same one twice. You get me?
Walter, you sound scared.
I am scared. Plenty. They know more than you think.
Oh? Then maybe I better not sue.
You have to sue. If you don't, they'll know something's up.
Oh. Yes, I see.
We've got to be careful. Real careful.
All right. Walter, Do you think about me?
You know I do.
All the time.
Yeah. All the time.
I did think about her, just not in the way she meant. I couldn't think about our future. I was just getting through each day without tripping up. As days passed and nothing surfaced, I began to relax. It all seemed to be going okay. And then Keys came barging into my office.
Walter, I got it!
Got what, Keys?
How they did it!
Did what?
The Nerdlinger case. You know the reason why the guard didn't see anyone else go onto the observation car? There wasn't anybody else.
So then it was suicide?
No. Nerdlinger never got on the train at all. Somebody took his crutches and got on in his place. An accomplice, probably a boyfriend. That's why he had to get rid of the guy from San Francisco. He couldn't be seen on the train beyond where the body was found.
You don't know that's what happened.
I do know it.
Well, what are you going to do?
I'm going to cover the pretty young widow. Everything she does, I'm going to know about it. Sooner or later, that guy's got a show. They'll have to see each other. Oh, no. I'm not through yet.
I couldn't wait to get out of there that day. I went home and got Stinko, or rather, I tried to. I knocked off a quart of cognac, but it didn't have any effect. My legs felt funny, and my mind kept pounding on what I was going to do. Keys had told me how he thought they did it. It wasn't all there, but he was so close, it made my skin crawl to hear him. I kept telling myself I just had to hold my nerve, and Phyllis had to hold hers. There wasn't any proof.
Miss Nerdlinger to see you.
Oh, better show her in.
Mr. Huff, I'm sorry to bother you again.
No bother, Miss Nerdlinger. Please, sit down. I was sorry about your father.
Thank you.
How's your stepmother?
She's all right, considering everything.
I was shocked to hear about it.
Mr. Huff, since that time with the loan, I've thought of you as a friend. That's why I've come. I have to talk to someone as a friend, not as someone in the insurance business. Can we talk in confidence?
Of course. Go ahead.
Please, don't repeat this to anyone. It's about my father's death. I can't help feeling there's something at the back of it.
What do you mean?
I can't make myself say it. This isn't the first time that I've felt like this.
What was the other time?
My mother. When she died, that's how I felt. My mother had lung trouble, Mr. Huff. We kept a cabin up at Lake Arrowhead, and she went up one winter. Just her and a friend who was a nurse. After a couple of days, she wired my father and said they'd decided to stay for a week. Well, that week, my mother caught pneumonia. The friend walked 12 miles through the snow to get a doctor, and when he got there, my mother was in a coma. She lived half an hour. Do you know who that friend was?
No.
It was Phyllis, my stepmother.
Well?
Well, a lot of things. For a start, why didn't my mother telephone to say they were staying longer instead of wiring?
Are you saying that someone else wired for her?
And why did Phyllis walk all that way to get a doctor? She could have skated across the lake in half an hour. She's a fine skater. Why didn't she go sooner?
There must be some reasonable explanation.
Phyllis specialized in pulmonary cases. She would know the time of crisis to the minute. And she would know how to bring on pneumonia, too.
What do you mean by that?
You think Phyllis wouldn't be capable of keeping her locked out in the cold till she was frozen to death? She looks so sweet and demure, but I know her. I've lived with her. 6 months later, Phyllis married my father. He's well off, you know. He was.
Now, Miss Nerdlinger, that's pretty serious what you're saying, but it's all just one way of looking at it. You're a little wrought up today.
I know I am. It's funny how easy I feel with you.
Have you told Nino or anyone else about this?
Nino is not my friend anymore. And no, I haven't said a word to anyone.
Well, I wouldn't. Especially not to your stepmother.
I've moved out. I can't bear to be near her.
What do you want me to do, Miss Nerdlinger?
I don't know. Just listen to me. I don't have anyone I can talk to. And would you call me Lola?
Sure. Come talk to me whenever you want. Lola. I didn't know what to think about her story. But I was worried about whether I should tell Keyes or not. If he found out I knew, and I hadn't told him, it would look mighty bad. But I couldn't bring myself to do it. And the more I thought about it, the more far-fetched it all seemed. So I said nothing.
You owe me a drink. Ask me why.
Why do I owe you a drink?
Because he's only gone and showed.
Who showed?
The guy in the Nerdlinger case, the accomplice.
What?
Looks like it is the boyfriend.
Really? Who is he?
Don't you worry, but he is the one. Now, watch me go to work.
I had to know what he knew. If he was toying with me. That night, I came back to work, and when the night watchman went on his rounds, I slipped into Key's office. I went through his desk, tried his filing cabinets, nothing. Then it occurred to me to check his dictation machine. And there it was, in a memo. He had round-the-clock surveillance on Phyllis. I thanked God I hadn't seen her. But someone had. 5 nights in the last week, and that someone was Nino Sacchetti. Phyllis, get inside. You took a hell of a risk coming here. They're watching you.
What?
There's someone tailing you now. I told you we couldn't meet.
But I came in the back way.
But your car! We'll have to say that you wanted to ask me about your husband again, if you'd given me any hint of being suicidal, and you didn't go to the office because you were afraid it might go against you in the suit. Yeah, that might just work. You got that?
Yeah, I got it. But I had to see you, Walter.
Go. You can't stay long. I mean it.
Don't you want to see me?
Of course I do.
I'm going crazy, Walter. And I'm lonely. Lola's moved out. She's been really strange ever since, you know...
She's still going with that Sacchetti guy?
I don't know. I suppose so. Look, I need you, Walter. I'm so lonely. I'm going out of my mind. I'm worried that you'll forget about me.
I won't forget about you, Phyllis.
Are you sure?
Sure, I'm sure.
I love you, Walter. That's all that's keeping me going.
I love you too, baby. I loved her like a rabbit loves a rattlesnake. That night, I got to thinking. I'd killed a man for money and a woman. I didn't have the money, and I didn't have the woman. She was a killer, and she'd used me for a cat's paw so she could have another man. She had enough on me to hang me higher than a kite, and if Sacchetti was in on it, there were two of them could hang me. For a couple of weeks, I didn't see Phyllis or even speak to her. But I saw a lot of Lola. Despite what I had done, somehow, I could forget it in her company. Because she was so sweet, and we talked so easily. One day, I found myself subtracting her age from mine. She was 15 years younger than me. Then, I thought how when she was 20... she'd only be 14 years younger. That's when I realized I was falling in love with her.
Walter.
Mm-hmm?
I feel bad. I really like you.
I really like you too. You know that.
There's something I have to tell you that may hurt you.
Well... better hear it, I guess.
I've been spying on Phyllis. I thought maybe I could find out something. But all I found out was that she's been going with Nino.
Don't say.
He dumped me right after my father died, and I thought he might have been involved. Last night, I could hear what they were saying. It was horrible. Saying how he loved her the moment he first saw her. But anyway, he spent all the money from your loan. He's really hard up. But if they'd done it together, she'd have to give him money, wouldn't she?
You mean if he'd helped her commit murder?
Yes. They talked for an hour, and I could tell that he didn't know a thing about it. Oh, Walter. She did it somehow. I know it. And I'll get her for it, if it's the last thing I do.
It was after that night with Lola that I made a decision. Or maybe I'd been making it all along. I had started to think that if there was some way I could make sure Lola would never find out, then maybe I could marry her and be happy for the rest of my life. And there was only one way to be sure.
Hello?
Phyllis, I've got to see you.
But I thought you said
we couldn't... They've had men watching you, but I found out something today. They've cut it down to just one shift, and it stops at 11. We can meet after that. There's some things I need to tell you.
All right. Come to the house.
No. Tomorrow night, around midnight, you sneak out. Meet me at Griffith Park, a couple hundred yards up Riverside. Park in the little glade by the bridge, 12:30 sharp. I'll be there early, so you won't have to wait.
I'll be there, Walter.
One other thing. I've got a new car, a dark blue Ford coupe.
Oh? That's the funniest thing I ever heard.
Why?
Oh, nothing. Tomorrow, 12:30. I'm just dying to see you.
Same here. Goodbye. I knew why she thought it was funny. Because she'd been riding around in a blue Ford coupe for the last month. It was Nino's car, and I'd copied the key at work. That was to be my get-out-of-jail card. Phyllis would be dead, and if anyone saw anything, Nino would be the suspect. I checked out the place I'd chosen, one of those small lookouts with only room for one or two cars.
I was going to park there so we could talk, only I wouldn't park. The car would accidentally on purpose roll over the edge, and I was going to jump clear. There was a chance I wouldn't make it, but that was okay with me. Sometimes, you have to take a chance. I went to Nino's apartment on La Brea. I breathed a sigh of relief when I saw his car was there. That was the one bit I couldn't plan. I unlocked the car, drove to Griffith Park, and waited in the spot near the bridge. At 12:35, she still hadn't come.
Phyllis? Is that you? Phyllis! Are you...
That's when I knew I wasn't the only one who'd figured the world wasn't big enough for the both of us. I had gone there to kill her. But she had beaten me to it.
Hey. Walter? Walter. Oh, you're back with us. You had me worried back there.
Geez.
That bullet grazed your lung. You're lucky it wasn't your heart. Another eighth of an inch.
They get the bullet?
Yeah.
They get her?
Yeah. They got both of them.
Both?
This guy that shot you, Sacchetti, he's the guy in the Nerdlinger case. The guy that's been going around with a widow.
You don't mean it.
I do mean it. Didn't I tell you the case stank?
What else?
The finance department called up.
He got a loan from us.
That's right. He got a loan. And this ties the girl in, too. She was there that day.
The girl?
Lola Nerdlinger. You may think it's funny a girl pulls something like that in her own father, but it's happened plenty of times. For 50,000 bucks, it'll happen plenty more times.
I don't believe it.
She was right there with Zacchetti when he shot you. She's the beneficiary, too, isn't she? There's just one thing I don't get. Why shoot you? There must be something you could testify to that would nail him. What is it?
I don't know. I can't think of anything.
There's something. Maybe you've forgotten, or maybe it doesn't seem important, but it is.
There's nothing.
Well, we got a few days. A little help from the cops, a few treatments with a rubber hose. Sooner or later, they'll spill, especially the girl. She'll crack before long. We might even clean this whole thing up before nightfall.
No.
What?
Keys. There was something. Now you speak of it.
Yeah? I'm listening.
I killed Nerdlinger.
After all those weeks, it took just 5 minutes to tell him. Afterwards, he kept staring at me.
See, they don't beat her. If you let them beat her, I'll kill you. I've told you everything for one reason, so they'll leave her alone. Promise me.
He shook me off and left. That night, he came back with the boss and a lawyer. They had an argument in the corridor, and then Norton and the lawyer left without saying goodbye. They acted like I was some kind of an animal that had an awful sore on its face, and they didn't even want to look at it. Keyes sat down. He looked ill. I don't suppose I looked so great.
This is an awful thing you've done.
I know.
I'm sorry. I kind of liked you.
I know. Same here. Did you see Lola?
Yeah. I didn't tell her. I let her talk. She was following you. She thought you were Sacchetti.
But what was he doing there?
It's a hell of a story, Walter.
How do you mean?
You got yourself tangled up with a real cobra. That woman, Phyllis... She's a pathological case. Sacchetti wasn't in love with her. He's known her for years. His father was a doctor. He had a sanitarium up in the Verdugo Hills. Phyllis was head nurse. 3 children died.
He died of
pneumonia.
You know about it?
No. Go on.
Well, it's a kid. He took the rap. He was ruined. Nino thought there was something funny about it, but he didn't do anything until the first Mrs. Nerdlinger died. He got to know Phyllis a bit, but then he met Lola. And it was love at first sight. Well, then Nerdlinger bought it, and Sacchetti knew he had to get serious. Until Lola was 21, Phyllis was her guardian. But if Lola married...
Lola was next in line.
That's it. So the other night, he was worried, because Phyllis had chased him out early. And for another thing, she'd been asking him about Griffith Park, when they closed the roads and so on. And he figured she had something cooking. So he went out for his car and found it was gone. The only person that had a spare key was Lola. So he caught a cab to the park and started walking around. Heard the shot and got to you at the same time as Lola. Phyllis was gone.
Thanks for telling me, Keys.
You're sunk, Walter.
I know it.
We're in a spot, too. Norton's not too happy about having it all over the papers that an agent of the company committed murder.
You can't hush it up.
No. But maybe we can do something.
The deal was I was to make a signed confession and give it to Keys. They would book me a place on a steamer for Mexico under a false name. Then they would turn the statement over to the police.
What about her?
Who?
Phyllis.
I've taken care of her.
Why would you do this for me?
What makes you think it's for you?
Well, anyway, thanks.
You got no reason to thank me.
And now I'm standing on the deck of the steamboat, watching the coast of Mexico go past. But I've got a funny feeling. I'm not going anywhere. My chest still hurts from the bullet wound, but it's not that.
Evening, senor.
Evening, steward. See that white flash down there in the water? Do you know what that is?
That is a shark, senor. They follow the ship. Nothing to worry about.
Oh. Thanks.
Hello, Walter. Beautiful night, isn't it?
Hello, Phyllis.
Your friend Keys, he's quite the matchmaker.
Yeah. He's a romantic.
Did you see the ship's paper?
I guess I'm not much interested in the news.
It's come out about us. It's a good thing we're under different names. It's quite the big sensation.
You don't seem too worried.
I've been thinking about something else.
What were you thinking about?
Us? We could be married like we talked about.
Yeah. And then what?
I don't even know where we're going. Do you?
We won't be getting off the boat wherever it's headed.
No. Walter, I think the time has come.
What do you mean?
I don't want to go back. I'd rather stay out here where it's so beautiful.
How are you going to do that? Oh.
Keys was right. I had nothing to thank him for. He just saved the state the expense of getting rid of me.
It's all that's left, isn't it?
We stayed on deck until the sun set, watching the phosphorescence creaming along the side.
Walter? Are you ready?
Yeah.
I'm ready.
The moon rose, a quarter off full. As I looked down at the depths below, I thought I saw a dark fin cutting the water in the moonlight.
In Double Indemnity, Walter was played by Trevor White, Phyllis by Christy Meyer, Keys by Mitchell Mullen, Lola by Ashley Haddad, and Nino by Martin T. Sherman. Double Indemnity by James M. Cain was dramatized by Steph Penny. It was a BBC Cymru Wales production, directed by Kate McCall.